All right. Thanks, guys, for being here. I appreciate it.
What's up? What's up? What's up? Thanks for having
me. Of course. Well, it's definitely my pleasure. And I want to take a trip back in time and just get started at the very beginning of Broken Side, the origin of the band, and also the band's name, if we could start there.
Dope. Yeah. Started back in like 2005, six, pretty much. Like Sev and myself kind of started the group, but you know, some girls broke our hearts and we were looking for the wildest names, and it was almost No Diving Allowed, but we ended up on Broken Side. So, you know, our hearts were broken. We were sad boys, early emo rap. So Broken Side. And then Jay came along like a year or two along in the journey, I think.
Something like that.
Yeah, we were all young, 22. He was like fucking 17. It was crazy. But Broken Side, and you know, we just started making music every Friday back on the good old MySpace days. You know, people were a lot more receptive and willing to help and not gatekeeping, as you know, nowadays everybody does. And Broken Side just flourished, and it was okay to like be yourself at that time. So, you know,
absolutely. And I think on a personal note, I do consider you guys, for me, the original kings of crunk, if that means anything.
Thank you.
So, yeah, of course.
Nice to have like support on our end, because it's been a rough fucking 18 years.
Of course, as it is. And I remember those days pretty well. I know people get too hung up on nostalgia, but I think that art has a way of finding itself in kind of the infinite, if that makes sense. And definitely Broken Side's music, of course, being a unique blend of crunkcore, screamo, electronic elements. Y'all were the first to do it, in my opinion. And I want to know how that sound developed, just what that process was like as you guys were beginning your creative journey.
Like when Sev and I first started, it was more like a Linkin Park / you know, like Hawthorne Heights kind of blend of sounds, you know, because like I said, we were doing that sad boy kind of emo music rap. And then we thought, you know, kind of like the screaming stuff, blending it all together. And then, you know, the electronic and, you know, all every kind of genre that is out there, Broken Side kind of meshes with. And because we don't want to be just set to, you know, there's Broken Side's screaming song again. You know, we want to have like a love song, a crunk song, a hyphy song, you know, a breakup song, a makeup song, you know, like everything, because people don't give us like a shot to see that we are talented and, you know, that we do what we do. And we're able to blend so many genres together, which is like kind of hard to do. But and then Jay came in and then we started getting all super crunky.
So that's kind of the period I want to emphasize, because like I said, I don't want to opine too much on nostalgia, but I think it's important to discuss how much of a time and place that period was during the MySpace days. And because Y2K has made its way into pop culture again, I would like to, you know, hear it from y'all's perspective, what that time was like, because there's so many people I know in my are huge fans of Broken Side that are just getting into you guys today that are Gen Z.
Cool.
Yeah. And so I'm curious, what was that time like? If you could just kind of opine on what your memories were, or maybe some of your best memories during that period.
One for me is just mainly just being able to be yourself and not be like, you know, in trouble for it. Like nowadays you can't breathe, but back then you can be and say what you wanted to, you know, be free and be yourself and find who you are. And it was beautiful.
And your audience would find you, you know, like they really knew what they wanted. And like back then you could repost somebody's music that you enjoyed onto your MySpace page. And like, I don't know. I loved that part. And the electro scene, like the electronic, like I'd say it was like Denver, but I'm not really sure. But that's where we sort of like fell in love with that sound, was, you know, just traveling out to Denver because it's really close to New Mexico. And yeah, I'd say that's where that sort of thing came from. But
just being happy, you know, to be different as well, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, and then compared to now, it's just a lot harder to kind of like get your music out to people because, you know, everything's owned by Facebook and all these places. And if you don't have the hundreds of thousands of dollars for marketing and promotion, like kind of sucks. You can't get your art out there the way it should be. So it's just different.
And even when you have fans, it's like damn near impossible to even reach the people that already like you. It's such bullshit and I hate it.
But we are thankful that the scene is coming back. Super thankful.
I'm not thankful at all.
Don't listen to this guy. He doesn't matter right now. He's wasted.
Sorry, I'm wasted, dude.
11 a.m.
It's totally fine. Let's talk about the scene coming back, because that's really what matters here. You know, shifting away kind of from nostalgia into the present. What are your opinions on that in terms of the scene coming back? What does that look like to you? Because you guys were pioneers early on.
It's just a blessing that it's coming back, because like I said, it was at first a joke, but I think people are like accepting it now. So I think it's going to give a little more actual life to what we were doing. So it's kind of like, I get bummed because we worked so hard all those years and got, you know, shit on, but now it's like totally cool. And so it's like happy, but like frustrating, because, you know, people have gatekeeped us or, you know, made it harder for us all those years ago. And now it's just like, oh, look, sold out tour, this act. And we're like, hey, and they're like, no, fuck you guys. And we're like,
but by the way, we still don't fuck with you.
Yeah.
Even though we jacked your sound, we still don't fuck with you.
Yeah, it's like a weird feeling.
No, I totally get that. So what do you think needs to change in that case? Because again, and I keep emphasizing this point that, you know, when we talk about crunkcore and we talk about that era and that era coming back, you're in control of the narrative, because you said so many people have taken and distilled your sound in particular. Yeah. So what needs to change in order to emphasize, you know, broken
community. Community and supporting each other. Like, we're artists, we're a team, you know what I mean? Like, there's money out there for everybody to grab. We live in a world where it's made that way, but if we work together as a community, also, like, when the scene was the scene in MySpace, everybody worked together, those trains, the reposts, and it made a lot of people work together and the scene, you know, come to life. So I wish just community and not like ego. As hard as that is, because ego is a big thing for everybody as we're humans, you know, but just working together as artists, you know, I think would be cool and help a lot of artists, including us and other artists that are trying to make it.
And give us our motherfucking flowers.
Yeah.
Of course. Of course. Well, I had this conversation, you know, recently just about how surprising it is for me that the scene has come back the way it has, because it seemed to have hit all at once. I think, you know, after people were coming out of being locked down for a period of time, they seemed to have regained this nostalgia. But also, I want to emphasize this point, it's younger people that are taking this and running with it. It's not just, whereas maybe in the 2010s, it was nostalgia, but now it's like, what is your take on, you know, Broken Inside, touching back on that previous point, for a whole new generation? How have you evolved, and what are you doing to bring Broken Side to a brand new generation, which is more TikTok focused instead of MySpace?
We're learning the whole new way. Like, it's funny to say, but we're old school now. Like, you know, we're still into like the old school promotion, but we're actively trying to figure out all the different platforms and, you know, like what's funny, what works, what doesn't, you know. But the music, like, I won't say it's the same, because we're trying new things, but also like we're still true to the format. We're just, you know, doing it in a more mature updated way,
because we're like older now. Like, I can't say You Make My Pee-Pee Hard anymore / culture we live in, but like, can't do that. I'm 39 years old, but
you can know, a little bit.
Well, to my buddy, I tell him all the time off camera, but it's just a new world. So, you know, just the way we write things and think of ideas for songs, it's a lot different. Just like some of the new songs that'll be dropping, it's not, you know, as like, you know, party, party, party. There is some, but there is some real, you know, like real music coming out. So we're excited to see what people think and to show people, you know, like, just as I said, we do have everything in the book.
Yeah, we have some cool new shit that's about to drop. Like, it's just, we're working with vibes now, you know?
Yeah, we always wanted to make our fans happy too, but that also kind of hurts you, because you just stop doing what you love to do and start catering. And now we're not catering anymore.
Let's speak to that. Let's speak to the evolution of Broken Side and where things have headed, because I understand that the point you've made, Jay, you know, about a vibes driven, you know, artistic style. I actually get that. What do you think about the evolution and where are things headed? Just in terms of the style, evolving away from what people have known as crunkcore and party music, where would you say the direction is headed and kind of what things have influenced you?
I would say that, you know, obviously there's new genres that didn't exist back then, like, you know, like
all that funk and hyper pop and all that kind of sound.
Mm.
Yeah, and like emo hip hop, like, you know, a lot of that stuff is really dope. So
it's really blown up a lot, you know, with Lil Peep and all the, you know, goth boy click and stuff. So it's kind of a cool way because we were doing that like 2005, you know what I'm saying? So to see it grown, I think it's just going to continue to grow, you know? And I think with this scene coming back, I think there's a sound that'll help evolve as well. And our end, it's just maturity, I guess, on a lot of the songs, but there is still some stupid, funny, broken side, like have fun, feel good, be yourself kind of vibes too. So we're always just trying to evolve and move forward from what we've already built.
Noted. No, that makes complete sense. And that's a good segue because we're talking about fashion and visual identity, you know, in speaking to how things evolved away from the MySpace scene and into emo rap, which was the community that I evolved into for sure. And your visual and fashion style is incredibly distinctive as your music. And if you could just opine on that a little bit, just discuss that a little bit, you know, your thoughts on fashion and visual identity, I would love to hear it.
Def. Yeah. Like way back in the day, you know, metal screaming, it's all black and, you know, like, but we're party. We wanted to be bright and like in a way piss off people because we're screaming, but we're in neon and just grills and, you know, stunner shades. But that's also like where we come from. We grew up listening to rap music our whole lives, you know, and then just kind of being the punk, you know, attitude that we were like, fuck it. Everybody's in black. Let's go bright and let's have a look to us, you know, and show that it's okay to be cool. It's okay to be bright. It's okay to be what you feel here. And also, you know, dressing up a certain way to say fuck you to those people that don't, you know, the sheep mentality. We're never the sheep people. We always want to be different.
And we'll still out-scream you.
Yeah. But our fashion, like I never understood fashion, but now that I'm older, I kind of get it. And it's cool to express how we feel inside when we're not lyrically doing it.
I just dress how I feel, you know, what makes me feel good when I wear it. That's it. And it changes too, you know. Some days I'm bright, some days I'm all black. Like, I don't know.
You know, so happy, emo. There we go. The broken side vibe. So works out.
Well, it's been featured on a lot of mood boards, the broken side style.
And we love it. Like we're so thankful that people also see and believe what we were trying to create because it's cool to be yourself and happy and like out there. Like life is so short. And as an artist and like being part of the broken side, like scene and all that, it feels good to kind of just do it, I guess. I always felt good being bright and out there and obnoxious and just like, sup. I know you don't like me, but sup.
You gonna see me?
Yeah.
You don't like me, but you gonna see me.
Pretty much fashion from Broken Side is like that idea.
Love it. So let's speak to your fans and their dedication because you guys have a very loyal following. I keep thinking about one friend of mine in particular who I mentioned I'd be doing a conversation with you and she was so excited.
Oh, awesome.
And yeah, absolutely. And they're known for their dedication. How do you engage with your fan community? Like what are some nuances that you could share?
Yeah, Def. We are very thankful for our fans because not a lot of bands have the support that we have for as long as we have. And it's great to have our circle. And it's like, I think it's such a tight circle because we give a lot of us every day. We'll try to respond to messages personally. We read our comments. We try to make connections with all these promoters and people and going out there and doing it all. You know, it's like, we know that we're just normal dudes. We don't think we're anything cool. But we know that we make people happy. So like we always want to give every percent of Broken Side to our fans because this is why we do it. To make people stronger, happier, and get our music out there. You know, it makes us happy to get it out there. So we're very, very, very thankful for our dedicated fans. And we're super, you know, we have a lot of things coming from. So we're excited and hopefully be back on the road soon to meet them because We love signing after every show. I could go on and on, but we love our fans genuinely.
Yeah, we put in a lot of footwork. Like we always were going out and like talking to people and, you know, hanging out and going to parties with you know,
random people, taking shots, smoking weeds, like living just normal people, because our fans are what we do this for, not ourselves.
And they're just people and we're just people, so, you know.
We just try to, you know, always give to our fans, because most artists don't care. They're just there for the paycheck and like, cool, see you at our next tour. But here we're like, hey, what's up? You know, we're always trying to help.
Right. And I think that's so important. So touching back on the past briefly, let's talk about some of your musical influences and collaborations, because, you know, it's very well noted that you've collaborated with artists like E40, for example, on on Booty Call. So maybe this is a two-part question. First, I would like to talk about you guys' influences growing up, like who some of your favorite artists were, and then we can touch on those collabs.
Yeah, Def. Personally, I went from, you know, R&B to alternative, which is, you know, like Keith Sweat, 112 to Creed.
Ah, shit, of course.
Other alternative beat sounds, and that's when Seb and I met. And so it's always just been R&B, rap, and alternative, I guess. So, I don't know, a couple of those. And then Jay's really hip-hop and rap. He's everything.
I definitely come from, like, the Linkin Park, Korn. Like, as far as screaming or anything like that goes, but I'm definitely, like, an underground hip-hop head. Like, lyricism and, you know, Sage Francis, Atmosphere. So
the very eclectic brains we got, it's just like everywhere.
So what makes it work and what makes it cool and fun, honestly, is when different minds come together and like create something different. I think that's what made us special, is that all of us were so different, you know?
Yeah. We weren't all just trying to do one metal song. I'm trying to sing some lovey-dovey shit. He's like some lyrical screaming, and Sev, when he was, you know, with the group, he was crazy rap screaming, and Ann's always going partying and good vibes screaming, you know, it's just wild. But now that it's back to Jay and I, it's still to the roots of Broken Side, but new sound, mature.
Of course. And I think nu metal's making a pretty big comeback as well.
It's pretty wild. We get kind of thrown in some of those nu metal playlists and we're like, cool, this is like, we get it, but this is weird, you know, but cool.
Yeah, everything is everything nowadays. Well, before touching on those collabs, I'm curious, did you guys ever have an Insane Clown Posse phase?
I did. I was definitely a juggalo. We got to play Gathering, so I was like, whoop, whoop. But
really? You guys played the Gathering?
Yeah, we did like a few years ago. Yeah, so
that's family, wild.
Straight up family, family. It was tight.
Okay, you guys have to speak to that, because, again, I think all of these worlds have intersected, as I mentioned, you know, whether it be Juggalo culture, whether it be nu metal, MySpace culture, all things are kind of relevant nowadays. If you could just share that experience of playing The Gathering, I'd love to hear it, or some interesting stories.
Yeah, I'd been chatting with them, you know, we finally made it work, and we got to play, I forget, a couple years ago, but we got there, we were a little unsure of where to go, how to act. You know, there's juggalos everywhere. We're like little scene beans just sticking out, you know? So we showed up, met the promoter, cool dude. And then, you know, as we set up, we were just meeting all the juggalos and all the whoop whoops. And it was really freaking cool. And, you know, we've oddly always had kind of juggalo fans. So it was dope for them to kind of interact with us. And we played a little bit of an early set, but people showed up and it was really, really, really fun. In the middle of a forest, it was so weird and crazy. And like if I went to Woodstock, it'd probably have to be Woodstock on a whole other fucking wild level, dude. It was the things I can picture right now still blows my mind. Juggalos are wild.
Yeah, likewise. No, I'm definitely down. I love their culture. It's really cool.
Hell yeah. Whoop, whoop.
So back to the collaborations that you guys did, because again, I think that's one of them in terms of playing The Gathering. E40. And some of these other collabs you did. Let's talk about those. Maybe some of your favorite ones in particular.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, that was Paul Wall. Like, I've been a Paul Wall fan forever. Like,
same.
since I was a kid. So the fact that, like, we made a song and we were like, you know who would sound dope? Paul Wall.
Baby.
And then now, like, he ended up doing it, which was, like, super cool. And E-42, obviously, because I'm a huge Tupac fan. So that's where I first heard E-40. So that the fact that we, like, sort of, in a way, like, collaborated with somebody who's collaborated with Tupac, so it's like indirect. I don't know. I just thought that was super cool.
Yeah, 40's a legend, dude. So and not only did he collab, but he also put out a statement saying that he believes in what we were doing and, you know, seeing the vision that we were having. And, you know, it was really great to be acknowledged and a little co-signed, and we're not just, you know, being talked down on. And it wasn't just, you know, for a paycheck. This guy, legend, believed in what we were trying to do, which was beautiful.
Yeah, and he's really dope, dude. Really dope.
Yeah, it's dope. You know, those are two legends. You know, Hot Mouth King, you know, Trey Songz. I mean, not Trey Songz. What's his name? Trey Nice. You know, a lot of guys. You know, we're super thankful that people have wanted to work with us and bring a little, you know, vibe to our sound as well.
We got some dope collabs coming up, too. We got some shit for the books.
Yeah.
That people are definitely going to enjoy. That, you know, make sense.
What could you preview? I know you probably can't talk much about it, but what would you preview for me?
How do we preview?
I don't know. I don't know how we would do it, but definitely we got, like,
we're not some boys, straight up.
I'm not a sad boy.
But we're happy boys.
I'm just broke inside.
Yeah.
I love it. That's good. Maybe any collaborators that you could tease out? Are there any people in particular? I wonder. I know you haven't made the announcements yet, but...
One has been a homie for a while. They're kind of in our region, a couple of states. And then another one is, like, on the far other side of the states. But, you know, it'll be very... a lot of screaming and...
Just say, you know, you start out as Charmander, then you move up to Charmeleon. This track is about to be Charizard in this motherfucker, like, front god level.
It's gonna be like top tier level stuff. So yeah, and then we're gonna have, you know, a lot more other artists, because we love working with other artists. It's really fun. See, you're reconnecting.
Perfect. Yeah, well, I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah, we're stoked. And, you know, maybe we'll have to slide you over a little sample or something. Who knows? Who knows? Broken Side is crazy.
Well, guys, I think that brings us into the present and the future. You know, the most obvious question is, what's coming up in the future in terms of new music, tours, projects, things that you've got coming to get people excited about? I would love to hear it.
Yeah, well, we are working really hard, and we're trying to do, you know, like, new music very, very often, like the MySpace days, you know, so people, we're, like, in a very fast world, so we want to kind of stay with it and give material as, you know.
Yeah, we're trying to do, like, long format, like, here's a track once every month, and, like, then maybe at the end, it'll all collect to be an album or album. People are just so quick to move on. So, like, we're trying to give each track its light and make it, like, digestible. Because, you know, we work really hard on it, and it sucks when you, like, do that and you put together a project and then it's, like, skip, skip, skip. You know what I mean? So that's what we're planning for right now. As far as tours, it's way harder to tour than it's ever been. So, like, we're trying. It's just, you know, you got to have a good booking agent, and then the people have to want you in that particular spot, and the promoters, they have to be able to take the risk to bring you out, you know. So, but we do have plans, and we definitely want to do some stuff. We're just making sure that the opportunities are right.
100%. And, you know, I want to talk at the end of this conversation just about something a little bit obscure, but I think y'all are perfect for it. I would like to opine a little bit about maybe aliens and artificial intelligence and some of the crazy stuff that's been happening. in the world. And, you know, you guys are very eccentric, so I want to hear your thoughts on it.
He found us out.
We got to go, dude. We got to go. I personally love alien space. Like, I know there's more to us. We're pieces of space, you know, like we're pieces of God, but we ain't God kind of stuff. So it's just we don't know everything. So that's why I guess I like taking risk in my real world and music and everything, because you don't know what beauty can happen from unknowingness, you know? So that's why I like to believe in, you know, crazy, wild, eccentric things. And, you know, like, I don't know, just there's a whole other, there's so many universes and like different filters of our life that we don't see because our brain can't process. But, you know, when you kind of meditate or, you know, spiritual wise, you kind of see these things and learn to like appreciate them and use them to your ability.
So you can tap into different dimensions with different drugs.
So it's wild, wild, wild galaxy we live in. I mean, people like us, that's crazy and great. So,
well, I love that. Well, I'm hoping one day, you know, people will put on their headset and they'll tap in, or maybe they'll take something that puts them in another dimension, and then we can create the Broken Side universe.
Yes, it's going to be
a family outside of this world.
A little bunch of frowns everywhere. We're like, what's up? Good morning.
All ASAP.
With his boy. Yeah. Yes, Broken Side does it
again. Well, guys, on that note, that leaves us with our final question here. And I know we've touched on in terms of what music is coming, in terms of what you guys' opinion on touring is, but is there one thing you want to leave, you know, our community with? It could be anything. I'm curious.
Generally, I would leave it on my end, like, continue to be the light that we are. Don't be afraid to be who you are. You know, many beautiful things happen from, you know, going outside the box or even thinking differently inside the box. And, you know, Broken Side will never die. So sorry, guys.
Yeah, I'd say the same. And definitely, we're not going anywhere. We're going to continue to be us and be happy and just create, because that's the type of people we are. No matter what, we'll always be creating.
And don't give up on yourself. And be sure to check out Akiva every freaking podcast, because it's been great.
I love that so much. Thank you, guys. You guys are such an inspiration. I'm seriously looking forward to the future, not just what has been, but looking forward to the future. I'm so excited.
Thank you, dude. We really appreciate you giving us the time and hanging out.
And definitely, if you can, anybody out there, stream our new song, Fight Me Too. If we could talk about that really quick, we just dropped a new song called Fight Me Too. And it's like to me, I imagine like a wrestler, like a boxer, somebody coming out, you know, like the theme song type thing. But the song is basically about, like, you know, we're being braggadocious, but also we're saying, you know, like, we understand that you're jealous. I'd want to fight me too, because we're so dope, you know. But yeah, it's a really sick song. The beat is fucking,
it's great.
Banger.
So if you haven't checked it out, go listen like a million times today. I don't know. But yeah, be sure to check out our new.
Absolutely.
All year long.
The beginning of every month, we're dropping a new track. So stay tuned for sure.
Super sick. Well, Fight Me is out. Everybody go check it out. It's got my endorsement. Let's fucking go. Guys, thank you so much for being here with me today, and enjoy the rest of your day.
Later, brother.
Thank you.